Angel Rock. I'm your host, Laura Lee Potvin. A little bit about myself. I'm a Canadian psychic medium, a crystal and Reiki energy healer, Akashic Records practitioner, medical intuitive, spiritual teacher and mentor. I'm also a nurse. And I apologize for the delay. My poor guest, Rob, he's been with his internet service provider for over an hour and they can't get him connected. His internet is cut out. So you got little old me tonight. A little bit more about this show. First of all, you're listening to 107.7 in New Orleans, Louisiana. But we also have YouTube channels, we've got Facebook pages where we're streaming live, Twitch TV. But what I'm going to do is invite you, please, to come on over to UFO Paranormal Radio. That's a YouTube channel. If you've seen my banner, I have it all on social media. You just have to click the link. I like to involve you in part of the show and check out the chat. And if you've got questions, comments, we're kind of doing this on the fly. I haven't done a show in a while by myself, but I thought, hey, why not? I used to do this all the time. I used to do a show every night, Monday through Friday. We didn't always have guests way back then. So I will reschedule Rob and sending him out to the internet gods, hoping it works for him. I know that's been a problem. Actually, quite a few of my friends I've talked to across the U.S., that's been a problem. So something that can't be helped, or, you know, it was summer coming. We've had a few schedule changes recently. Last week, I think it was Joe. I know I'd give him a shout out. Joe Montaldo, the owner of UPRN and our producer. He makes my job so easy. He does all the hard work. I just get to sit here and talk. But that happened last week. I think the week before, my guest, it was Memorial Day in the weekend. Maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, Memorial Day. And he didn't know that was coming. He had gone out with his family. And that happens. Summertime's coming. You know what? At least over here in North America and on, I guess, half of the globe, if you're over in the area of Australia, I guess you guys are entering into fall. So people are getting outside, enjoying the weather and what have you. So this is kind of on the fly tonight. I'm going to grab my phone so that we have YouTube here and I'll keep an eye on things. I should tell you guys, I was on a podcast tonight over on Blog Talk Radio with a good friend of mine. She's been on this show, Lois T. Martin, with I've Got Your Number. And she did a really cool thing tonight. It was her second time doing it. It was called Inside the Mind of a Psychic, Part 2. Uncensored. And she asked us a lot of questions that we weren't expecting. We didn't know. Plus people called in with a few questions. Some people, two men in particular named John, called in. And the first one, what an incredible message he left for all of us that do this type of work as intuitives, as healers, as people that try to help others that are going through grief and loss, and really, really beautiful message. Then another John called in to second that and add to that message. So nothing but lots of love, lots of interesting questions. And then what we did, there was four of us. There was myself. There was Georgia Rose, really amazing lady. She's got Zencuda.com. I just talked to her. I'm going to have her on the show. I don't think I've really had this type of person on before. She does astrology, which helps her lead into what your soul path is. So I'm hoping to have her on next month. We're going to be rebooking Michael Roser because we weren't able to have him on. Bill Bean's a good friend of mine from the paranormal world. We had to reschedule him. I have some very exciting guests coming up for you as well. If you are into natural healing or what have you, you may have seen these people, Dr. Rima Labo and Ralph Fusatola. They do the Unmasked Crusaders podcast on Tuesdays over at People for People Radio. So these are some of the upcoming guests I'm having for you, plus way more. I've got a whole bunch in my email. So we've got some really exciting people that are going to be coming up on this show for you guys. Now, without further ado, let me get to the YouTube page here. So if you are tuning in or you're listening, you're listening live, a little bit about my show, The Angel Rock. I say I cover all aspects of the supernatural, but I don't even know if that's the inclusive word I want to use because I cover anything. I hate the word conspiracy theory. I'm sorry, I do. So I like to call it truth seeking. Sometimes we cover this, as our dear Joe likes to tease me and call me conspiracy princess. He says he has another female friend that he calls conspiracy queen. So we cover that. I cover anything within the paranormal realm, from cryptids to UFOs to ETs to absolute entities, paranormal investigations. And then we also cover the spirituality field in the way of sometimes, like Rob, who we're going to have on tonight. I haven't had somebody on like this before, so I'm looking forward to rescheduling him. He is a pet medium. He's also a medium for human beings as well, but that's the bulk of his work with animals. And he has some new books we're going to talk about. So yeah, there's a wide realm. Like I said, anything with spirituality. Lois, who I mentioned, is a numerologist, but the way she does numerology, she looks at all the letters in your name. And I want to give a shout out to a regular supporter of our network and my shows, Zachary Powers, who happened to call into Lois's show tonight. So that was fun. And yeah, so, and I'm also on a lot of different podcasts, always taking UPRN with me. This is my home, coming up to my 2-year anniversary here on this network. And I love it. I was just talking to Joe about this before when we were waiting to see if my guest could get his internet working. And I said, I'm not blowing smoke up your rear end. I'll say that's radio friendly. I really do love UPRN. It's my home. I've been on other networks. I've had offers to go to other networks, and I just love the way things are run. I think Joe knows what he's doing. I think he does a great job. He's a people person for sure, and he handles everybody beautifully. Never mind the incredible amount of hosts that we have here on this network too. There's programming for everybody here. So the other thing I do with this show is I have a multitude of guests from a wide variety of backgrounds, and the show is always about them. So it's kind of cool, right? Because who knows a person better than themselves? And they're on here to talk about their passions, what they do. And I like to have people on here that through their work, whatever it may be, they're making a positive change for humanity that way. Even if we're covering something a little bit negative, I do try to end the show always on a positive note, because being a light worker, that's kind of what I do with my field of work, if you will. So let me get over here. Oh, I've got the wrong page. No wonder I can't find what's going on. There we go. That helps. We've got, looks like, two people watching. So if you get a chance, and if the Dell is watching or he's downstairs, maybe I'll call him up here. He can come up and join me. If you don't know who the Dell is, he is my partner in real life, or as Joe likes to tease, he says all Canadian women keep their men in cages. So I'm the cage master and Dell is the cagey. He has his own show on UPRN here on Tuesday nights called The Delicious Recipe. And he does cover all areas in the way of truth seeking versus, I'd say, I don't like to say the word conspiracy theory. He also is starting to really get into talking about a lot of stuff within the paranormal, such as cryptids, especially. He's absolutely fascinated, I have to say, about the little people. Now, we've heard of Bigfoot or Sasquatch or the Yowie, wherever you live, depending on the big hairy, I'll say beast, that walks on two legs, that nobody has really been able to find a body, they say, and so on and so forth. Well, this is actually something that seems to exist pretty strongly around the world, but with most Aboriginal First Nations people, they're very aware of it, depending on where people live. There was one in particular, I know Dell was talking to somebody or was watching a show, that you can't whistle in the woods. Yet he asked somebody else about it from another area, from a First Nations population. They said, no, we don't have that about them. But I guess they're little people, and sometimes they're helpful. Sometimes they can be quite trickster type energy. And where I live in Thunder Bay, which is in northwestern Ontario, we are right on the shores of Lake Superior, one of the biggest Great Lakes. So if you're looking at it, kind of looks like a wolf head. I always say we are located on the shores, right where it might be, where the eye is located. We're about 35, 40 minutes from the Minnesota border, and we're about 6 hours north from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the reason I mention it is we do have a large First Nations population here. So we've been able to ask quite a few people, have you heard of the little people? And anybody we've talked to that seems to be First Nations or Indigenous has heard of them. There's a YouTuber you'll hear me mention many times on the show. I share their work on in my Paranormal University group, as well as on social media. It's called Nuke's Top 5. Excuse me. And he's on YouTube. The reason why I like his work is I find that he's more of a skeptic. So what happens is he lives over, I believe, in Norway. I think it's Norway, but he sounds like he's from North America by the accent that he has. And he gets people sending in from all over the world videos of the paranormal. And he never tells you what to think. His catchphrase is it all an elaborate hoax? You decide. But some of the stuff this guy has caught on video blow my mind. I shouldn't say that he's caught on video, that people have caught on video and sent into him. He will even tell you if he's tried to debunk it, like change the lighting or the shading or whatever it may be to see, like say it's a shadow being to better see what it is. He'll replay it several times so you can see, and he has the top five list. We've actually had somebody on this show that was featured in his top five ghost list, Rick Wade. He's a psychic medium, he's an author, and he happened to be at a wedding. And I don't think it was somebody that he knew really well, but it was at a house. It was like a friend, I think he was at, or an acquaintance. So he asked permission if he could go upstairs to just take a few pictures. It was an older house, and the person agreed. And he had the video camera on actually and was taking stills as he was filming. And the reason why he was featured in the list is, and I've seen the video, I actually contacted him right away when I saw it. It looks like a little girl twirling in a party dress right beside him. But the interesting part about that is that depending on where the videos come from, geographically in the world, you seem to get interesting type of entities, not your garden, variety of entities such as, shadow beings or, something appearing, materializing that was once human. There's one video in particular that actually had a follow-up, and it's from Mexico. Mexico seems to have, or I should say South America has strange, crazy entities that we wouldn't see necessarily in any part of the world. And it's this gentleman, I wish I could remember his name. He has it's like a party store kind of convenience store, and he had security cameras up all around that film when there's any movement, and they notify him on his phone. And so it takes video footage. So he sent this into Nuke's top five. And the part that got me, and I've been into, dealing with the paranormal now for God, probably 12, 13 plus years. And this video in particular freaked me the heck out because they thought that there's something with this pinata that is seems to be active, like it moves and all kinds of stuff. That wasn't the strange part. The camera caught video of something with glowing eyes that seemed almost sort of humanoid looking. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. But in the pile of stuffed animals in the middle of the store, when his camera went off and caught this being pops up. It looks around. It's got a skull face. Looks like it's got some kind of makeup markings. It's definitely a skull, glowing eyes with this hair spreading out the top. It is absolutely terrifying. Excuse me, I've never seen anything like it. There's not a body attached to it. But there was a follow-up video that freaked me out. So as the story went, continuing, this gentleman believed, the owner of the store, that this pinata, I think it was like Dora the Explorer or something, very innocuous looking pinata, but quite probably about 3 feet high. And he spoke to a medicine man, I think, as the story went, and asked him to get rid of this for him, that it was causing problems for him. So he decided to give it to him. This medicine man got rid of it. But what this gentleman, the store owner, realized after the pinata was gone, the activity got much worse. You actually, there was more footage of this being that popped up that I just described up on upper floors. And there was really a lot of violent stuff starting to happen. And he realized, oh my goodness, I need to get this pinata back. So he went to the medicine man, and the medicine man said, I drove it for hours. I know where it is. I left it in an abandoned car. I refuse to go back and get it. If you want to get it, be my guest. So this gentleman filmed his trip towards where he finally found, located the abandoned car. It was pretty difficult to get into it He filmed, he grabbed the pinata, sat it in the car, started to drive back. And it almost seemed like a movie, but this was like real life. And as this guy's driving, he was speaking in Spanish, so there was translations or subtitles, and all of a sudden he kept saying, nope, there's nothing in here. No, I'm not gonna crash, I'm not gonna crash, I'm not gonna crash. Now skeptics could say, did he cause this? Because he kept repeating this over and over. He indeed did crash while the camera was running. But when you go back through the footage, which Nuke's Top 5 did, immediately before he did, I believe there was some kind of scream or something, and it wasn't from the gentleman driving, and he was on his own. But in the rear view mirror, whose face pops up in the back? But this entity that originally was popping up on film. Just creepy, 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 creepy. I'm telling you. But you know what the interesting thing about that is? There is no space and time on the other side. Never mind the fact that you're able, there or not you, whether you're a positive being or a negative entity, you can be in multiple places at the same time. So it didn't surprise me. It was just mostly creepy. Now you get to the Middle East. Seems to be nonstop talk about jinns, which isn't surprising because when you go into the Quran and things like that, there is talk about jinn. I've spoken to people of Muslim faith, including one of my physicians I had for a while. And as I've t spoken many times about on this show, we moved from our home that had severe paranormal activity. We were in it, we just left about a year and a half ago. And like the Dell has been thrown 15 feet. Other people have been affected by what happened in that home. And like I say, the whole thing to do with this is just puzzling, I guess, when you think about this. Like, why does it happen? Why does it happen to some people? Never mind the fact that I don't know about you guys, but I am seeing more and more and more negative activity around the world. And I think what it has to do is with energy, because as we know, one of the laws of physics is energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It can be transferred from one place to another. But I just said this on the last show I was on just before this, is that what people, we've never been taught this about energy. It just sounds like this woo-woo astral type of stuff, but it can be proven. I mean, people hear the word aura and think that you're some type of hippy-dippy, new age kind of guru-ish or wanting to be type of person, but it's proven. I mean, there's photography out there called Carilion photography. We have an aura. You can see it. Some people, you can train yourself to see auras. You can feel it. And if you doubt me on that, and I use this example many times, I've never remembered what the name of the show was, but it was a guy speaking to another guy that he didn't know very well. Like, I think that was just even, I wouldn't even call him an acquaintance. The acquaintance got right up in this guy's face and he said, dude, personal space, and backed up. Now, think about that for yourself. You're out in public and somebody you don't know very well steps up and gets too close, we automatically step back. We can feel that, whether you think that or not. It just feels, this only word I can use is icky. It feels icky. So if it's somebody you know well, you're intimate with them, you have a very good close relationship with them, then you're more comfortable with them coming into your personal space. So that is a thing, right? So where I'm going with all this is, the world is full of such low vibrational energy and emotion. Our words, our thoughts, and words, thoughts, and emotions are some of the most powerful energies out there. This is what I'm talking about, some of the things we've never been taught to look at as human beings. So, again, I'm going to refer to the show we were just on. Many of us are in the healing field, myself included. And people don't realize that when we hang on to things like anger, revenge, jealousy, depression, sadness, you couple that with trying to self-medicate, whether it happened to be drugs or alcohol, and you're at risk for something attaching because you're already manifesting and hanging on to a lot of negative energy. But what that can do is it sits there, if you will, and it can actually develop into dis-ease or disease. So, for example, with cancer, now that's not the only reason why, but they're starting to look at this even scientifically. Are you coming to join me?
No,
because I don't have a guest on tonight, and I'm live, so you can come and join me. I was hoping you would.
To bring you a piece of
pizza. Well, I can't eat pizza on camera because I am on camera on UPRN right now. Do you want to show people your lovely pizza you've made? This is the Dell. Here, you got to come. There's the Dell right there, guys.
I got to jump in the shower because I had to go to work.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes, the Dell has to work. We'll just leave it on the table, please, waiter boy. I'll let you out of your cage to go to work. I told people why you're called about being in the cage. Anyways, now you made me lose my train of thought where I was going with this. Okay, so anyways, now I remember. So with the power of our thoughts and our words and our emotions, that can cause a lot of disease, like I said. And what they're looking at with cancer is that it's actually an emotionally caused disease, if you will. And there's a lot of lower vibrational emotions that we can be hanging on to. So part of the healing process, and I've seen a lot of things, a lot of people be healed. And it doesn't have to do with just miracles. It's a change in diet, a change in energy work. I've had Augie Nost on here quite a few times. He's a good friend of mine. And he runs the mastermind. So focusing all, when you have more than one mind, so two minds or plus, you harness the power of those minds if you're focused on the same thing. So he actually gives an example. What are you doing now?
Two minds.
Are we focusing on pizza? So we're going to make all kinds of pizza. A mastermind pizza. No, so what happened? He gives this example. A friend of his, I wasn't part of this at this time, had a young daughter, I believe in her probably 20s to early 30s, that was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, which is supposed to be incurable. And she was actually palliative, meaning that she only had about 6 weeks to live. Her whole body apparently was completely covered in tumors, and the doctor sent her home to die. So her father contacted Augie, and they worked on focusing on healing and focusing on it's already been done. It's already done. And then on top of it, she had some diet counseling, used guided imagery, meditation. And when I'm talking about diet changes, talking about changing the alkalinity in your body, or actually the acidity to alkalinity. Again, this is not medical advice. This is just sharing a story. Anyways, as the story goes, 2 months later, she went back to see the doctor. She already should have passed away. They only gave her 6 weeks. She didn't have a tumor left. And when she told the doctor, he asked her what she was doing, what she had done. Apparently, the doctor walked out of the room. Joe and I have talked about this many times, and I know I've done quite a bit of research in this. There's many areas in the world where cancer is being healed very successfully and without chemotherapy, believe it or not. So again, if you look at the emotional aspect of that, we're able to heal that, whether that involves going into techniques and working with someone like myself, such as shadow work or energy work. I do something called crystal Reiki. I've had a lot of people ask me about that, so I'm going to talk about that a bit. And if we do get some more people on here, I'd love to do some readings for you guys. I don't need cards, but I like to do them when we're doing quick readings or we're doing them live, so people can, you know, I'll give you what I get from spirit, and then I pull a card, and then usually the card supports what the message is that has come from spirit. Zach Man is here. I see you, Zach Man. Hello. I'm so glad to see you on here. I forgot. I'm looking up here for your comment on StreamYard, and I didn't see it. Good thing I got another phone on here. Sorry, I'm all over the place between having Dell here, and I apologize if you just popped in. My guest I'm supposed to have on tonight, a poor guy, Rob, his internet was out, and there was nothing he could do about it. He really tried, even tried with his phone. So we will reschedule, have him back on. Zach called in actually to Lois's show, and I've got your number. So it was so great to see you there. Thanks for supporting her and being there, Zach. And then you're here tonight. That's awesome. So now I'm losing my train of thought, Zach, and I apologize. This is all on the fly. I was going to play a replay, and then I thought, no, I haven't done a show by myself in a long time. And then Dell had to come in and bring pizza. I was hoping he would have hung out with me, but he actually has to go to work. So he's working nights at a new job. But I talked a little bit about the paranormal, and I apologize if I didn't finish that thought. Hopefully it will come to me. But like I said, I got distracted too many times here. Zach, if you remember what I was saying when I got distracted in between, please feel free to remind me. And it's not usually I'm this scatterbrained, but sometimes this happens when you're on the fly like this. So, but what I am going to bring it up, we've almost talked it to death. And like I said, that thought will come back to me that I was talking about. It was about healing and energy and things like that. Is, wait, hang on. I just about had it there, guys. I said I hadn't done this in a long time. I was talking about shadow work. I'm just reviewing what I was talking about. It'll come to me. It's almost been talked to death lately, but let's talk about UFO and disclosure, because I'm going to read what you said. Hey, Del, you brought pizza. I wanted maple candy and a six-pack of Moosehead. LOL. You won't find that at our house in Canada. I hate anything maple. Dog, please go lay down. You're not having pizza. And I don't drink beer, but Del only drinks Labatt's Blue. So if you come here, I don't think he minds a Moosehead once in a while. But yeah, I don't drink beer. I wish I did, but I don't. So about the UFOs and disclosure, what I have to say about that is I was looking at this very interesting article. And it, again, I'm just going to put it out there. I think you have to be very discerning with your news, regardless of where it comes from. But the one that I saw that kind of caught a little bit of interest for me was, apparently there was a lot brought up in Congress about what was supposed to be disclosed. There were some people that were very concerned. We're not prepared. We won't be able to protect ourselves. Even Adam Schiff had a little bit to add to the conversation, again, coming from a fear-based perspective. But again, I'm going to quote Joe on this, Joe Montaldo, because he's our UFO ET guy, never mind that he's been doing it for years, is think about this. They've been around for eons. And if they really wanted to do something, don't you think they would have done it already? Right? It's not like this is something new. Now, whether disclosure is new to you or whatever, but if you are on social media anywhere, even if you're looking at mainstream media, you'll get videos or newscasts or whatever from them. This is not something new. They have been around. So yes, they definitely could have done something if they wanted to many eons ago, and they haven't. Nobody seems to know what their purpose is here. You may or may not believe about people that have been taken by ET. There's far too many people that it's happened to that I totally believe, absolutely, when they've shared, if they can remember what's happened to them. So Zach says, I'm not hyped about the disclosure. They'll only release information that serves their agenda. Agree 100%. And again, I think what, you know, I wasn't excited when the CIA said they were going to release everything they had about UFOs and ETs, because in typical CIA fashion, they put out a bunch of documents and then they redacted everything in it. So what did you really get out of it? Nothing. And you can't tell me, they said this was everything they had regarding the subject. No video, no photos. Come on. I mean, you could go on YouTube right now. You could go on any video site and look up UFOs caught on camera. And you could be there probably for 6 months of Sundays and still wouldn't even be close to tapping the surface of the amount of videos that are out there. Are they all UFO in nature? No. But some of them, I believe that there's a lot more technology out there than the public has ever been made aware of, that we are much more advanced than we've ever, ever even believed is possible. I kept hearing about med beds. I knew there was a lot of stuff that could be done with them. And I'd also, one of my guests I used to have on regularly, hoping to have him on again soon. He's been on a bunch of podcasts himself, is Dan Willis. And he's talked about this when he's been on my show, about we're capable of healing anything, regrowing limbs, all kinds of stuff. And I watched the most interesting podcast episode. And again, I can't remember the person's name. I get stuff sent to me all the time. Excuse me. And it was somebody that was talking about these med beds again, because I keep hearing about them and hearing about them. I believe this is the technology they're talking about. And they were talking about that there will be no illness. They can cure anything. So there'll be no need for doctors or nurses. They were talking about possibly needing med bed technicians. This person was training in it. They released, and again, have I had a chance to check it out and research it to the umpteenth degree? No, but I've heard about med beds quite a bit. They were being trained in the technology and how to run them and utilize them. But the part that I found really, really interesting was age regression. So they said, and they said they've been around for years, that the military has used them, that the black hats have had them for years. So what it is they said, say, they use the number 70. So they said around 70 years of age, you can do an age regression, which means that you can basically completely turn your body back to about 25, 30 years of age. And you're allowed to do this three times. They said by the fourth time, they found that the brain can't quite keep up with, it's just not sharp anymore. It starts to deteriorate. But cancer, spinal cord injuries, you know, you've lost an arm, a leg, anything, all that is possible to be healed. So, and then she talked a little bit about that what you could possibly do as well is take somebody's consciousness and say they've done their three regressions, and there's, you couldn't go beyond that. Now imagine the amount of years that are involved with that. 70 years time, well, not 70, because I guess third, so 70 plus 40, say 30 to 70, 40, so that's like 150 years of age, if you think about it, give or take, right? By the time that you can't age regress anymore. Then she talked about that it is possible to take somebody's consciousness and actually transfer it into another being or body. Go figure. I'm going to read Zach's comments. It's similar back to the Area 51 disclosure movement back in the 90s. Won't get any shocking evidence that'll cause a massive overload of cognitive dissonance. I have to agree with you, Zach, because I used to say, you know, why do they keep this stuff from us? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, everybody's aware that there's ETs and UFOs. No, there isn't. And then I think if I've learned anything with what's been going on in the last, I'll say, year and a half, the utter craziness that can ensue with people that just aren't ready to have an open mind, if you will, that don't realize that we're not here by accident, that, you know, all life is about is acquiring the next, say, greatest and best thing in the way of cell phones or material things, or, you know, going to work, coming home, doing whatever, and that's what life is. Nothing else. There's nothing beyond this lifetime, and there's many people that believe that. There's other people, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, with what I'm talking about. Even there's people that believe that are uber religious and, you know, live the way the Bible suggests, or twist some of the words of the Bible to their narrative, whatever it may be, instead of just being really open-minded. And I never have I seen so much anger, so much depression, fighting, you name it. And again, we get back to where I was earlier with the energy collectively. This is one of the thoughts I was going with, and I apologize for jumping all over. But when you have energy like this collectively, it's ripe for negative entities. The easiest way to describe it is it's food for them, right? So you're seeing lots of attachments, all kinds of things are going on. And I don't consider myself to be a religious person, highly spiritual. For me, my belief is in a higher power of God. It doesn't matter to me what somebody's belief is. I try to respect everybody's. But I believe that this is a battle of spirituality, if you will, of light versus dark, whatever it may be. as well as in the physical form as well. So when you've got that kind of energy collectively, and if you stick with me for a minute here, when you have a full moon working, when I was working nights as a nurse in particular, I never had to check what moon stage we were on. I always knew when it was a full moon because all heck would break loose. All of us did. And you just have to ask, it's got to be a full moon. Oh yeah, it's a full moon. And you think about it, right? So full moons can affect our activity that much. Never mind. And it was Adele that said this to me. He said, well, why can't you? Absolutely, full moons are going to affect us. When you see the effect that the moon has on water bodies on this planet, like with the tides and what have you, we're made up of at least 80% water. So you know for darn sure we're going to be affected by that type of energy as well. So when the energy collectively is that low, we've also seen, I think it's Dr. Emoto, please forgive me if I get the spelling of his or the pronunciation of his name wrong. He's done scientific experiments with water, two different glasses of water, if you will. Even with plants, I know has been done, but water in particular, this one is fed, you know, positive words, you're wonderful, I love you, touching it, sending, you know, positive thoughts and love. This one, you're ugly, I hate you, whatever it is. And the difference between the two glasses of water molecularly is like night and day. So when you think that because we're made up of that much water and we need to drink water, what kind of energy collectively and globally is being projected into our water sources, if you will? So we're not only are we ingesting it, we're picking it up within the water makeup of ourselves. If you follow the work of Dr. Robert O. Young, one of the things he's come up with, we've always been taught in medicine that the largest organ on the human body is the integumentary system or the skin. He has actually refuted that and said the actual largest organ in the human body is the interstitium, which means it's the fluid between all the cells in our body. It gets a little complicated, but when you break it down, it collectively where the energy is on the planet right now, and we're even ingesting it in the way of drinking the water that's picking this up, you can kind of see where things are at. So if we actually gave human beings disclosure, there will be many of us that would be thrilled for the truth. But I almost have to go back to the old adage of, I don't think we can handle the truth, meaning a lot of us, not you or me, who maybe are open to hearing it, but there are a lot of people, I think, that would go a little crazy thinking the end of the world has come, because there's many people I've seen running around thinking that right now as it is. I see Zach's got another comment. He says, it's similar back to the Area 51 disclosure. Oh, that was a comment you read before. Sorry, I apologize. I just got a notification on StreamYard. So like I said, I don't know, Zach, what besides your thoughts on that, what do you think? Where do you think things are headed, even collectively with what's been going on? You guys, depending on who I talk to in the U.S., and love you guys, you're my brothers and sisters. I mean, we live right next door to you. But because the shift has been so different in the U.S. and things are opening up and travel is happening and all kinds of things, you guys are almost, I want to say healing, if you will, more positive. But it's so hard to realize because we're not seeing it in the mainstream media or anywhere else, unless you're going to look independently. A lot of us, like here in Canada, on the UK, excuse me, Europe, Australia, you name it, all over, we're still very, very much locked down, very, very much still in this narrative. Even though the evidence is starting to come out that a lot of this wasn't true. A lot of this, like, don't get me wrong, CV, you know what, did exist. Yes, it did affect people. But when you look back on the numbers from last year of people who have passed away, it's no different than any other year. It's actually slightly lower. So it's a big state of confusion right now, I think. I don't know if this is a little carrot dangled in front of people's noses that this is what's going to happen. I won't give you my conspiracy theory that I think what may happen. We'll see if it comes to fruition. I will let you guys know. So it's hard to say. I don't know. So I don't know where we're going to go with this, but you know what? Being a spiritual teacher and mentor, nobody's promised tomorrow. Nobody's promised an hour from now, right? So we can live in fear and worry about what's going to come next, what's going to happen next, you know, and you can focus on the negative, or you can choose to just live in the now. And that word that I just said is already in the past. So my whole point is we can't control our futures. When I say that, I mean, you can't control everything that happens. Can you make goals? Can you set plans? Can you bring into fruition the art of manifestation or law of manifestation? Absolutely. Can you change the past? No. And even with time travel, would you even want to? Because part of what I teach people when I mentor them and work with them is embrace it all. The good, the bad, the ugly, the great times, the bad times, because all of it has made you who you are today. And, you know, some people may say, well, I don't like who I am today. Well, guess what? That's all in your hands. You have the ability to change that. You have the ability to make happen what you would like to happen. Again, can you make it happen? No, but you can certainly set up all the steps and do the work on your part to make it happen. When you start understanding about energy and the laws of the universe and so on and so forth, you can make it happen. Zach says, the world in general is heading down a negative path on a global scale and all the way to my family. If things get to me now and then, it does get to me now and then. It makes me sick just the way things are. I have to keep working on separating myself from that negative energy. And I have to agree with you, Zach. It's very, very difficult. Very difficult with the way things are going and the way a lot of people are thinking. So it's really, really important right now, self-care. Self-care is more important than anything. And, you know, I teach things like grounding, something I called call a love shield. So you're not coming from a perspective of fear, but I believe one of the most powerful emotions out there is love. So coming from a place of love, because again, I talked earlier about auras and your energy field, so that you can, just let me finish my thought here. So what you can do is you can actually put up a force field, if you will, around you. And by basing that on love, thank you. Have fun at work. So by putting that up there, and people always ask me questions, well, can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do this? You can do whatever you want. It's your force field, if you will, right? So you can do that to shield yourself. The other thing is grounding. That is so important. So say you're feeling really drained, you're really having a hard time around this negativity that you're experiencing, or the people around you, or the arguing, or the fighting, or I'm better than you because I did the JAB, or vice versa. If you really want to separate yourself, and I always say I try to walk the talk that I do, is grounding. So some of the easiest ways, and it's very, very healing, take your shoes and socks off and get your feet on the ground. That could be grass with the earth underneath it, could be sand at the beach, what have you. And I'm going to even tell you something personal here. I've told you guys before that I'm a chronic pain sufferer. I was having a really difficult day a couple mornings ago. And so I just watched this really cool documentary that's out there called Earthing. It's nothing new, but it's a newer documentary, and really interesting to watch it and hear people's what happened to them with their experiences. So what I did was I took my shoes and socks off, sat out in the sun, and my ankles, like all from my joints, were all swollen, and I was in a lot of pain. I kid you not, after half an hour, all the swelling was gone, all the pain was gone. I felt energized. And again, am I saying this is going to happen to everybody? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not claiming it's going to cure anybody, but what would it hurt to give it a try? We know that grounding works. We know that being on this planet as human beings, we're meant to live in balance. And again, I seem to be talking a lot about energy tonight, and not usually one to talk about that, but we are meant to be in harmony and in balance. So if you're feeling scattered, or we had somebody call in tonight on Loish's show, that's a person that does readings, saying they were having a hard time reading their cards and they were having a hard time being nice to people. And that was a brave thing to admit. It really, really was. And basically asking for some help or some insight on this. So part of what one of the, it wasn't myself, it was a fellow person that was on the pod or on the podcast that said, then you shouldn't be reading for people. This is time for you to step back and do some inner healing work. And we can always have inner healing work. Many of us have a lot of traumas in our life that we haven't dealt with. Like I said, some people self-medicate. Some people, I've always said, I've been around people that have had substance abuse problems my whole life, whether it has been personal or professional. And I've always said, nobody ever wakes up one morning and says, you know what? I think my life's ambition is to become an alcoholic or a drug addict. Nobody says that. So whether somebody falls into it by trying it at a party or something and, you know, quickly becomes very addictive or whatever it may be, I believe that people self-medicate because they're in some sort of emotional, energetic, or spiritual pain. And it's too painful to go there and unravel it, unpack it, and have to do the work to try and heal it versus numbing it, trying to deal with it. So there's a lot of that going on right now, too. Here, I'm going to read your comments. Here's Zach. My force field is my humor and listening to comedies. I love it, Zach. And the reason why is, and again, you, any of you listening to this, some of you may know what it is, some of you may not, but raising your vibration is so tantamount right now. And what that means is, for those that don't understand it, and Zach does, because he said, again, my force field is my humor and watching comedies. And the reason why is because you're laughing and you're making other people laugh. And most of us as human beings, not all of us, but most of us, it makes us feel really good when we make other people laugh or make people feel good. Not having somebody laugh at you, but laughing with you. And those are some of the things I talk to people about. Opening the windows, getting in some fresh air. Say it's crappy weather outside, then get the fresh air in. Open up your curtains, let the sunlight in. Like you said, Zach, watching comedies, things that make you laugh, being around people that make you feel good, being careful not to drain them, maybe, because some people do get that. They'll say, wonder who I'm going to call. I'm in a really crappy mood, and they always make me feel better. Got to be careful with that, too, because you don't want to be draining somebody else of their positive energy. But even in that point, if you think about it, I actually have a video on my YouTube channel, why gratitude and positivity are a choice. And they are. Each of us has the same 24 hours. Not all of us encounter the same things. But we have a choice about whether we want to remain positive when something crappy happens, especially in the morning, running around, whatever happens. And, you know, you think, oh, great, there goes my whole day. It's just going to be like this the whole day. Well, if you tell yourself that, yeah, your day will be like that the whole rest of the day, but you can stop, take a breath. If you want to say to yourself, okay, I'm going to reset things. No, my whole day is not going to be like this, and move forward. Or even accepting that, yeah, you know what? Everybody has crappy days. Even that was one of the questions I was hoping was going to come up tonight about inside the mind of a psychic, is people asking, you know, one person did kind of ask, it was towards the end, but what is life like for somebody that, say, is a light worker or in contact with spirit all the time? We have the same problems as everybody else, exact same problems, exact same hurts and pains and everything else, but it's a choice. Do you put it out there? Or do you try and work with it and heal it within, or say with a, whether it's counseling or whether it's with a close friend or whomever that may be, because we all know about these people. And I'm not judging, I'm just putting it out there. But it's the people that every time something negative happens or anything happens, it goes on social media, It's almost like, excuse the wording, but social vomit. Just like, I'm going to vomit it all over the place and spread it all over everywhere. So people will be feeling exactly what I'm feeling. And, or the other thing is, or Seraphine Hurley, who's my bestie and we co-host together, is called it Sad Fishers, right? And are you going to go back to looking at the glass half empty or half full? And again, I'm not talking about tucking it under the rug and just pretending it doesn't exist and my life is rainbows and butterflies and unicorn poop and everything. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's a choice, though. You know, I love this anagram that I have, and I shared it many times. It says, think. Before you post on social media, think. And T stands for, excuse me, asking yourself these questions. First of all, T stands for, is it thoughtful? H is it helpful? I, is it informative? N, is it needed? And K is for, is it kind? As well as, does it impart any knowledge? And if it doesn't, do you really want to put that out there? Right? Because we have a choice again. Like Zach, you said humor. You always make me laugh. I've read many of Zach's posts, and he'll usually put, Zach is feeling sarcastic today, and then you start reading it and it makes everybody else smile and laugh and leaves you with a good feeling. Or the other thing that I think is so cool is random acts of kindness, because I'll guarantee you it'll be a gift to yourself versus anybody else. Maybe you're having a crappy day, but if you can do something nice, like I remember the first time here up in Canada, we have Tim Hortons. We have Starbucks, but people love Tim Hortons. And I was in line to go buy some coffee, and I went to go pay for my coffee, and I wasn't in line. I was in the drive-thru. And the person taking my order said, oh, well, you don't have to pay for your coffee. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, the person before you paid for it. I didn't know this person. I didn't get a chance to thank them. But I was literally in tears. I could not, excuse me, believe that somebody had done that. I mean, not tears of sadness, like just joy. Like, holy cow, that was so awesome. It made my whole day. And so now if I get a chance, if it's, you know, say close to payday, it's payday or whatever, if I can do it, I try to do the same thing for somebody because it makes your whole day. Did I need the person to thank me? No. Did I need to see their face? No. Yes, I'm sharing this with you now, but I don't go on social media and tell everybody, hey, guess what I did today? Because to me, it's just a gift to myself by giving to others. And I had somebody channel a message recently, as well as I think there's been a guest. I'm trying to remember what guest was on here, whether it was privately or we were having a discussion. And it may even have been on the show. I want to say it was probably Susan Plunkett. I think it was her quite a few months ago. Gavin Lee Davies had shared her with me. And she is a psychologist out in New York and an author. And I remember her saying quite a few times on the show, and she's right, that what it's all about is service to others. Not service to self, but service to others. And you know what? I think she's right. Yeah, quite a few comments here. Hang on, not quite a few. I got an update here on StreamYard, Zach. Zach says, my glass is never half empty or full or half full. When I see my glass running low, I pour myself some more water. And that is imperative. That is another message that I teach people, especially in the healing or light worker field, but for anybody, that, you know what, we always say you can't pour from an empty cup. So it's so important to do that inner self-healing, inner self-worth, self-nurturing, to keep our cup full, because then we always have something to share with others. And that's absolutely right, Zach. You're absolutely right. And I use the analogy, probably heard me on this show, is, you know, younger, being traveling, saying, I remember probably my brother and I flew to Florida to meet my parents there. We were about 15, 16. And it was one of the times I'd been on a plane by myself and seeing the flight attendant come out and do her safety, you know, demonstration and telling you in the event that the oxygen masks come down and you're traveling with others, please make sure to put your oxygen mask on first before helping others, such as little ones or elderly people or whoever around you. And you think, well, why would you want to do that? Like, why wouldn't you want to help everybody around you? But now when I look at it, they're absolutely right. Because yeah, of course I'd want to put the oxygen mask on my children, or, well, they're adults now, but my youngest is disabled, so he'd need help, or anybody else. Because if I don't have oxygen, then I'm of no use to anybody else, right? So same analogy. So I think it's so important right now. Again, you know, when we're all around the bend and back again tonight, but when you think about it, you know, it's not just the positive, you know, spirits, if you will, that can see you on this planet. There's also the negative. Again, we live in a world of duality on Earth here. So do they belong here? No, but they do come in, and they like to feed off of low vibrational energy. So when you think about that, it's ripe. But they could be having a whole banquet right now with what's going on. So when you, and I'll be very honest with you, there was like probably about a month and a half ago, I was done on a Friday. I was emotionally, spiritually, physically, energetically, in every way drained. I just was done. There was so, and I love talking to other people, was sharing whatever, but there was just so much negativity. I literally did, and again, I really do try to walk the walk that I speak or that I talk. So I unplugged everything, social media, whatever. I did what brought me joy. I shared that message with many people personally, as well as publicly, is do whatever brings joy to your life. And I did that, and I felt like a whole new person. Time Monday came around to a new week. Even Nadal, with covering, like, he's constantly doing research for his shows and stuff. He just even said, and I've never heard him say this in all the years I've been with him, he said, I just need a break. I need a break from this. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with this. I just need a break. And that's okay to say that. Sometimes you need a break from people. People that are negative, people that are trying, people that push your buttons. There's always a message in that, but you almost need to step away, replenish, and then take a look or unpack that message in it. Because when that was one of the questions we had tonight on Lois's show was, what irritates you? And of course, we were all being all fluffy and nice at the beginning, but then as the conversation progressed, and Lois was the one that's always dead honest, and when she started to say that, we all realized that many of the same things bug us, but each and every one of us in our own way answered. But we've realized that when there's a pet peeve or something that really irks you or bothers you, that there's a message in that. It's a time to sit back and unpack it and say, why does this bother me so much? Is there a lesson in this? Is there a message in this? What is it? And I'll be honest with you, sometimes you just don't find out. Eventually you might, sometimes you don't. They just bug you or irritate you for whatever reason it is. That's the time to let it be. When the time is right, you will unpack it and find out what's in it. What's the message in it, or what part of you may need healing? So it's hard. I don't have all the answers, but Zach, I was going to ask you, I know you had a question tonight, but do you have any questions? I brought some new decks. I have a brand new deck. I haven't even hardly used it. Geez, are you surprised? Anybody that knows me, oops, I'm trying to turn it, knows my favorite show is and was Supernatural. So they just came out with a deck. So I got a new deck, and I said, the interesting part is I don't usually use tarot. I do read it, but they have all the characters from the show. Excuse me, on the deck. And if you know the show as well as I do, it's kind of easy to read the cards, because you know what character attributes and what have you go along with the cards. So it's kind of a cool deck. But I grabbed some other ones too. What do we got here? We got, it's a new deck of mine I really like, Archangel Animal decks. And I like Kyle Gray's decks too. This one is Angels and Ancestors deck. And then, I just grabbed a whole bunch, because like I said, we were going to do a replay, and then I thought, no, you know what? I haven't had a show where I just sit and chit-chat and babble away here, and I figured, yeah, let's do it tonight. Hang on. I'm going to read your message here, Zach. I guess it's just me and you tonight, Zach, hanging out. It says, I'll be taking my break from life this upcoming 4th of July weekend by going up to my family's home in the White Mountains. Ooh, nice. Thankfully, my cell phone has no service, so I won't get work calls. LOL. I have to agree with you. I love Dell's family cottage or camp, as we call it, because there really is almost no internet out there. If you're parked your butt at the table, kitchen table, right in front of the big picture window, if you're sitting just so, you might be, you're like, your notifications will go off, but like you wouldn't be able to unpack a video or, you know, upload a photo or something to a post. It's pretty difficult. But it's almost like, and again, here's this word energy. There's a public beach at the end of the road, and you turn up the road. Everybody calls it Dell's Road because there's only about five cottages on that side. It is like going into a different world. I kid you not. It is so peaceful, so calm. I love it out there. And it's like a house. So always got people around, always a great time. Dell's best friends, one of them lives across the lake on the lives. His wife's family has a cottage on the east side of the lake. He usually just comes across in his boat. And then his other close friend is just around the bend up the road. So we usually spend a lot of time with their families and such. And it's just a really beautiful place, but no internet. Now, could we get some? We've looked into it, or there's Wi-Fi if we go to the east side of the lake. Dell's one friend, like I said, closer to us up the road, has paid for internet, but he's only got so many gigabytes, so you don't want to use his gigabytes. Okay, Zach, you said, sure, I got a question. What are some advice that Spirit can give me to help alleviate anxiety and stress at my workplace so I can do my job efficiently? Now, you're talking about your day job, your new job, or what have you? Because that'll give me a little bit more insight, Zach. Because I'm just filling into this. Yeah, are you getting a lunch break and a coffee break there, Zach? I'm just going to check and see if you are. And Spirit wants me to share this saying that I have that I discovered many years ago with my youngest son when life could be a little bit difficult is, if it makes no difference, sorry, I got a dog here. My dog's over there. She's jumping all over. If it makes no difference 10 minutes from now, let alone 10 years from now, let it go and pick your battles. So what that means, obviously, is that there are going to be fights at yes. And I don't mean fights. I mean, events, situations that, yes, you will have to take head on. Thinking it through, trying not to speak when things are agitated, meaning in the way of whether you feel triggered or angry. And again, no judgment there, rightfully so, for whatever reason. I'll read the rest of your comment. Your day job. So really thinking about things and those things that you do have to take a stand on or whatever it may be, voicing your concern, but part of what it is offering solutions. Now you're going to have people, I'm feeling and hearing, that are not going to be open to hearing it, and that's fine. So again, choosing very carefully the battles. The other part is, I keep hearing outside. I know it's super hot where you are right now, but if there's a place you can get to outside that's cool, that's really going to help diffuse a lot of the energy. And the reason why I'm sharing that too is that it works, because we can't control the actions of others. We can only control our actions, our reactions, and our thoughts. So on your breaks, if you're able to, even if there's some funny videos, you can take a break and watch anything that will help raise your vibration, get you away from the source that's causing you anxiety and stress on your break times. I'm going to read what you wrote. Haven't been lately since I had been down route drivers and managers. I picked up a lot of slack. Okay. Now, is that asked of you, or you're doing that because to be a good employee? Because remember, too, about boundaries. I'm hearing from Spirit for you that, yes, especially with holidays or if there's people sick or whatever it may be, there are times that you do need to pick up the slack. But then there's times when we take on too much on our plate, and Spirit wants you to be mindful of that, that, yes, it's very noble and, you know, helpful. And yes, it feels good when we're felt needed and rely, you know, they know they can rely on you. And nobody minds picking up the slack for a short period of time. But if it starts to be too much, like you're talking about anxiety and stress, that maybe you're either taking on too much or somebody is piling on too much on your plate. So this is where that message that I just said earlier with looking at the situation, if you have to, you know, process the emotion that goes with it, whether there might be some anger, never mind stress and anxiety. Once that's helped kind of clear the air for yourself a little bit, looking at it rationally and seeing what can I take off my plate and what can I not. And then, like I said, we can always identify a problem. And it doesn't matter what business you're in or what, even a relationship, identifying a problem, but also coming forth with some potential solutions and being open to negotiating and discussing it for something that's mutually beneficial for everybody. I'm going to pull a card for you too, Zach. So hang on. I don't know why they want me to pull this one, but they want me to, it's Diana Cooper, Archangel Animal Oracle Cards. You do it voluntarily to make things to run smoothly so we don't fall or fail. Yeah, that's kind of what I was picking up from you, Zach. And that's what I'm saying. I think that's why Spirit said what they did, is you got to draw a line in the sand, okay? And there's a question. This is not meant to be mean or anything, okay? I was one of those people that did this. This isn't about me. And it was a hard thing to learn. But if something happened to you, God forbid, and I'm not wishing anything on you, but this is a question we need to ask ourselves. If something happened to you and you weren't able to go back to the job tomorrow, what would happen? Life would still go on. The company would still function. Yeah, they might fail or they might have some issues or some problems, but they would learn to either work through it or what would happen. So there's nothing wrong with being reliable, being somebody that is responsible and taking that initiative. But Spirit wants you to remember about boundaries. And it becomes a habit kind of in a way, right? When people know that there's somebody that will pick up the slack, that somebody that will always do the extra. I don't need to worry about it. Zach's got it. Mm-hmm. That's what Spirit wants you to think about. So if you're really having a lot of anxiety and stress, first of all, kudos to you for recognizing that. But then we have to sit back and take a look from the outside looking in. How do I unpack that? What's causing the anxiety and stress? And like I said, that's a really hard question to put to ourselves. What would happen if I did not go back tomorrow? Something happened, I didn't exist. What would happen? And the obvious answer, life would go on. Life would go on. The company would go on. The work would go on. And if they failed, then maybe that was meant what was supposed to happen. Do you hear what I'm saying? So it's not all on you. Just checking in case you're anything else. So I don't mean that unkindly in any way. And it's a hard thing to hear, especially when you are the one that likes to take initiative. You're a team player. You know, it feels good to help others. I've just been talking about that. But remember, Zach, boundaries. So when you're feeling overwhelmed, and it may have become a pattern, and it's time to, you know, like I said, people start to say, oh, well, I don't need to worry about it. Zach will do it. Zach will pick up the slack. Zach's a good guy. He'll do it, right? It feels good to be needed. It feels good to know that people can rely on you. But when it's starting to affect you, then it's time and it's okay to say no or to scale things back a little bit. Like I said, short term, nobody minds doing that. But again, it's not all on you. There's not just one employee, right? And that's something to think about when you've got a really noble heart like you do. And like I said, the things that you do, it's very easy to for people to take advantage of that. And I'm not saying they're taking advantage of it. You volunteered for it. And I can certainly see why you volunteered. You're a team player, you know, everything that goes along with that. But it's very important. It's kind of about that cup we just talked about, that to keep your cup full in order to keep giving, it may be very important that you now look at things and start to scale it back and step back a bit. Just something to think about. I don't know if that answers your question. I'm going to pull a card for you because, like you said, so we don't fail. But life will go on without us. It will. Without a job, without the me being at the job or whatever. I used to do that when I worked as a nurse and I was out in the community. And I used to do it all. And I had a very nasty manager who didn't like what I did, that felt very threatened by what I did. And she actually said that to me one day. You know, this nursing organization would go on without you, you know, if you weren't here. And what happened was I ended up having an accident with my back, falling through stairs in a patient's home that they had covered with a rug. But the point was that I had been cautioned numerous times before to go off, that my back was at a very bad point. I needed to take some time off and I didn't. And I'm not blaming anybody, and things happened the way they did. And that always sat with me when she said that, what she said to me before my accident. And then it did happen. And guess what? Yes, life did go on without me. The company did go on without me. Everything went on without me. It was just up to somebody else to do it. He said, I 100% agree with you, Laurie. In fact, 2 weeks ago, my manager wanted me to go en route. I told his management that I would quit if they made me go on a full route. That sent the message across. Right, exactly, right? So you put your foot down and said no, right? Because people only will ask and take from you from what we allow. Sometimes there's consequences for our standing your ground and putting up boundaries. That's okay. Maybe that was meant to happen. I always say when something doesn't happen the way we expect it to happen, or something positive comes out of what we expect, to be open to the fact that it may take a while, a little bit of healing, a little bit of whatever. And I'm not saying that's going to happen with your job. What I'm saying is sometimes things don't turn out the way you want them to turn out. But looking back with a little bit of time and a little bit of healing, we can see that there was a lesson in that, or it actually opened up the possibility for something better to happen in our lives. So like I said, I'm just shuffling as I'm talking to you. And I'm glad that you did that. Good, Zach. Not enough people do that. And again, it's not being selfish. We're going back to filling up our own cup. And again, it's draining your cup. So what are you going to do about it, right? In the meantime, and it's going to take a little while to get them to realize that, no, you're not going to volunteer for everything that comes up, or you're not going to say yes to everything. Because, yeah, you could go cold turkey. Well, then they're really not going to probably like it. But just scaling things back slowly. A lot of inner self-care. So whether that, you know, really getting outside, I'm hearing. So I know it's hot, but if you can get someplace cooler or just with some fresh air, even a change of venue somewhere, even if it's somewhere air conditioned, but you can get away from, you know, all the people around you, and just to have a break physically as well as mentally. And, you know, like I said, when you watch some funny videos, go have a cigar, be around people you love and enjoy their company. So, you know, I don't know how often, even if you have to text or call your fiance if you're not able to see her, whatever it is, but really doing whatever that inner self-nurturing and care is right now. That's so important. And it's so important for a lot of people. You said, thankfully, the upper management see me as a valuable asset in the central command operations where they will have my back. That is good. But again, it takes a little while to change a pattern. So if you've always been the one to step up, that maybe just every, you know, if there's something to step up for, just maybe step back a little bit right now and just scale it back a bit. And there's always an excuse you can use. And you know, I've got other things on my plate or other things personally. You know, I want to be the best that I'm. You can be honest too. Honesty is the best policy. I'm feeling very stressed and anxious at times. I've got more than enough on my plate here. I'm still a team player. Still love to know that you guys know you can rely on me. But you know what? I want to be able to be there when it's important. But I need to say no to this. And most people can understand that. And if they can't, like it sounds like they respect and value you as an employee, they'll be okay with that. And if they're not, I mean, yes, everybody's lucky to have a job nowadays, but the thing is, they have to be okay with it because what do they want you to do? Get sick or something because you're over, you know what I mean? You keep saying yes and yes, taking more and more on your plate. So I'm glad you stood up for yourself. Good for you. So the card I pulled was Bear. Boy, Zach, you're getting a lot of messages about power tonight, especially with what Lois gave you. It says, use power with wisdom. And there's archangels mentioned here, so you can work specifically with them about this. It says archangels Uriel and Jophiel. So what I'm hearing is, this is a bit woo-woo sounding, but chakra balance. So there's lots of great meditations on YouTube, things like that you can plug in, help you visualize, because those are our energy centers, really, focusing on heart-centered energy. It looks like crown chakra as well too. So I think it has to do with what I was talking about earlier with balance, like with the grounding and then with the chakra work. It'll help maintain everything in balance energetically for you. I'll show you the picture. I'll take a look at the book too and your message. So you said watching shows like yours is part of my deep detox process. Oh, thank you, Zach. You're so sweet. And I appreciate when you're here too. We all appreciate you here. You know we do. Heck, you got Michael Angley now. I hear calling you out in certain shows. Where's Zach, Laurie? Where's that Zach guy? You know, what's his cigar and beverage usually suggestions? So let's see what Bear has. I don't use this deck that often. It's a newer deck of mine. So again, it says Bear. Use power with wisdom, Archangels Uriel and Jophiel. It says about bears. Bears originate from Orion, the constellation of enlightenment and wisdom. In their auras, and I talked about auras tonight earlier, I think it was before you were on here, they carry codes which enable them to influence others for their highest goods. They are learning and demonstrating how to use power correctly. When they are in nature, Archangel Uriel helps them to keep their solar plexus chakras balanced, radiant, and confident. So this was actually about chakras because I could tell by, you can see where the light is in this card. I'll send you a picture of it after, Zach, on Messenger. Then it says, bears are mostly solitary animals, happy when they are free and in their natural environment. When they hibernate, they are held in the love of source, while the masters of Orion feed them with wisdom energy. Archangel Jophiel, excuse me, the angel of wisdom also shines his crystal yellow light onto them. Within wisdom, there is always love. Archangel Jophiel connects the hearts of the bears to the hearts of those who are pure enough to accept his love. So there's guidance in this, and it says the bear card suggests that you have the wisdom within you that enables you to establish your power and use it correctly. Now, how perfect is this card with what we've just been talking about? It says, for this, it is important for you to be in an environment where you are happy and free. So examine your world, and if you need to make changes, ask Archangel Uriel to help you. So we were talking about some of these changes before I pulled this card, Zach. So it says you can work with Archangel Uriel. You don't need to be speaking out loud. You can just have that conversation within your mind. This archangel will hear you. And he's an amazing one too. They all are, but he's pretty amazing, the energy he's got. He says he will strengthen your solar plexus chakra so that you feel confident and strong. You may need to walk alone while you reclaim your wisdom and worth. So some of the things we were talking about before I pulled this card, Zach, about, you know, taking time out for yourself on your breaks, replenishing, filling up that cup. It says, so if so, Use this opportunity to create your own cocoon so that source light can touch you. Open your crown center and let Archangel Jophiel pour his crystal yellow light right through you, expanding your heart so that you spread peace and love. So I hope that helps you, Zach. That was a pretty, I was wondering what this bear card had to do with all that, but it kind of just reiterated. That's why I like to pull cards out when I'm doing video, you know, readings like this. It's been a while since I've been able to go live on my page and do one-on-one readings, but I'm hoping to be able to do that soon. But it just sort of reiterates, usually it's almost always perfect. It'll reiterate the message that's come through spirit and kind of reiterate it, strengthen it, give you a little bit of evidential proof that it's sort of coming through from spirit for you. So that's the cool thing about spirit, though, you know. Same thing about energy we've been talking about tonight, and I've kind of gone all around the bend and back again. Never mind with having the Dell coming in here to interrupt my train of thought. I apologize for that. So, but hopefully that'll help you. And then if you're okay with it, I'd love to give you a little bit more advice about your cigar venture that you're doing. I gave you a little bit on Lois's show, but I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that you would prefer this to be probably your main source of money. So one thing that came through so strongly for me, Zach, for you when you had called in earlier to the other show was it's so important for you to embrace who you are, what makes you unique. Never mind all the incredible knowledge and passion that you have for what you're doing, but adding that little special piece, like the skull rings that you love to wear, you know how much I love skulls too, you know that. So incorporating that little piece of you, I know you've had people sometimes you've mentioned in the chat that they've got comments about the rings that you wear. Embrace it because it makes it who you are. You love them. They look good on you. So all the little extras that you have that makes you you, throwing that into the mix with this business venture will make you successful. And I love what Georgia Rose said to you about the fact about not so much about focusing on will I be successful financially, but focusing on your passion and how much you love this and putting all that into it. And again, it's so easy to gravitate towards the energy of doubt. We all have those doubts when we start a new venture, but you've already had this venture once, didn't have a lot of say in the way you may necessarily have wanted things to go, as I understand it. But if you're taking this on head on and you're doing it the way you want to do it and the way you think it should be done, and again, putting those extra special touches in there that make you you, there's no way you can fail. Really, there isn't. Because it'll be different from everybody else. It'll make you memorable and it'll make people wanting to come back for more. So I'm going to read the rest of your comments here. It did speak to you. Thank you for pulling it for you. You're so welcome. And you said, I'm always open to input. That's good because that was really coming through really strong for you. Excuse me. So that was what was, like I said, all the little things that you might have wanted to do when you previously tried this. And again, it wasn't just your baby, but if this is your baby or the people that you're doing this with, just so there may be other places like that, or that it's it's popular, but make it your own. Like all the things that maybe you've dreamt about or wanted. No, you're not always going to be able to do that in the beginning, but even starting out with all the things that make you you, that make you, that help you connect with other people. So even your humor, sarcasm, maybe that's something, and again, I'm just throwing it out there, your logo or a business slogan or something that delineates you from others, or I don't know, again, I'm not an expert in that field, but anything to do with cigars that you could do differently, different brands maybe, or information sources, or, you know, a lot of people are visual, so something visual that you can do to create, delineate yourself from other businesses like it, that people will want to come to your place and be there. So I'm hoping that'll help, but that was so important. And I will tell you what Lois told you tonight about your name. You had called in when she was on my, or you had left a question in the chat when you she was on my show. And she actually thought about you afterwards. She had mentioned what a powerful, powerful name you have. And that's what I love about Lois with her numerology, is she really goes on the energy of the letters in somebody's name. I've never seen somebody do numerology the way she does, but that's what she kept going on about, how powerful your name is. And she said that before. So something positive to think about. She gave you some down to earth practical advice to keep in mind. So keep your feet firmly planted on the ground and keep moving forward. One of the things that's so important, I think, with the law of attraction is, God, I always forget the name. I'm going to have to give me one sec here, because I always forget it. And I don't know why, because I listen to this from time to time. Let's see. I'll look it up for you guys. Law of, and I'm going to kick myself when I see the name because it's on the tip of my tongue. Okay, law of attraction. Let's see. Gosh, what's her name? And I'll say, oh, sorry, guys. I'm trying to type and talk at the same time here. Okay, law of attraction. We'll put channel of spirit guide. It should be in there. It's going to come to me after the show if I can't find it. Let's see. Where are you in here? I know you're in here. There we go. Esther Hicks, and she channels Abraham, who is her spirit guide that comes through. I never remember his name. I don't know why. Law of attraction. So what he said in one of his, or through her, in one of her channeling sessions, which I really believe is so true for life in general, is that life is like a canoe, right? And when you're paddling upstream, how difficult, how hard it is, you're fighting, fighting, fighting. But if you just stop, you don't even have to paddle, eventually the current will turn the canoe and guide you down. Say everything that you hope to manifest or desire is downstream, that will happen. And I think it's kind of like that with life. The more life becomes more difficult, we have more issues, more problems, it's almost like we're paddling upstream. So even taking the time to stop and pause, or to gently just sort of turn the canoe and go with the flow, that it's almost like it's meant to be, like you're heading towards your life path or where you're supposed to be or what you're hoping to manifest. I'm just going to read your comments here, Zach. He said, when it was mentioned for me to do my own thing, one field that I wanted to go into down the road is learning how to create my own cigars. I have one guy I've been going to for years that is willing. Oh, Zach, I just heard a huge yes, 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 yes. Do it, do it, do it. And to take you under his wing. Yes, yes, absolutely. And think big like that. No dream is too big, right? And what's the old analogy, that if you reach for the stars and you, or what is it, reach for the moon or the stars and miss, at least you'll still be way up there. I think it's the stars, you'll hit the moon. But that's what I'm saying. Don't dream too small. Dream super huge, super large. Set that goal, put it out there. Do a little bit of the work to make it happen. And I think that's fantastic. Fantastic. Like, I heard the loudest yelling, cheering section for you when I read that. Yes, 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 absolutely. I think it's a great idea. And just imagine putting that out there. So I think that that's where, when Georgia Rose was telling you that, not so much about focusing about being financially abundant, but by focusing on your passion about things like this that you're hoping to do, that'll, the part that spirit was saying to me, that'll set you apart from other people. Plus, what a beautiful, amazing, incredible skill, especially if somebody's willing to mentor you and teach you. It's almost a lost art nowadays. So awesome, awesome, awesome. So I can talk, can't I, for 2 hours. Anyways, we're almost out of time here, guys. I apologize. Poor Rob, he felt so bad, but I will have him on. I mentioned some of the new and exciting guests I'm going to be having on here. I'm going to be on a gentleman's show. I'm going to be chatting with him tomorrow in Australia. joining him Thursday. And then I'm going to be on his podcast, Jimothy Murphy. Actually, really interesting guy, well-spoken. And I'm hoping to have him on my show. So very interesting background. He's on the International Tribunal. He's a judge with myself. And a real good feel for what's going on behind the scenes, some truth seeking, stuff like that. So I said, we've got some really interesting guests coming up. So I hope to see you guys next week here on Monday, same time, same place, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central. I believe I have somebody by the name of Augie, not Augie Nost, but another Augie. I think he's from Singapore. Gavin Lee Davies sent him to me. I'm trying to remember. I don't quote me on it. I think it's Near Death Experiences that he's going to talk about his book. Also, if you ever want to get a hold of me to book a reading, mentoring services, even group readings, anything like that, because I do all my work online, or healing sessions, crystal Reiki sessions, work with the chakras, balancing your energy, things like that, you can reach out to me on facebook.com/TheAngelRock. As well as I have two groups on Facebook, Paranormal University for all things paranormal, and the Angel Rocker Tribe for many things we talked about tonight, energy balancing, chakras, power of the mind, power of positivity, law of attraction, a lot of channeled messages in there from a lot of incredible people. I have a close friend in there, Leanne Clark, who is making these incredible grids with crystals to be utilized and meditate with, use it in your own life with a lot of information. A lot of great people posting in both the groups, and I want to thank them. Also, I'll be back on, I believe, Friday night. I know Joe will be here anyways. We have two panel shows during the week, Mondays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Central, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. It's a paranormal host chat. And then Friday nights, it's the Centralist from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern. And we usually join Joe along with Michael Angley on Monday nights. Friday nights, Monday nights. It's usually Michelle DeRoche, myself, Michael Angley, and the Dell with Joe. So I hope to see you then. Until then, I send you guys all so much love and light. Before I go, I just remembered, I am doing a show with Dell tomorrow night on his show, The Delicious Recipe. We are having back one of our favorite guests that we do joint shows together with, Varla Ventura. We usually have her around the changes in the season. She can only be for an hour tomorrow night, so it's going to be a quick show, but join us from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on The Delicious Recipe. Sending you all so much love and light, and looking forward to seeing you here back next week. Thanks so much, Zach, for always supporting and being here. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Have a good one. Michelle, I'm waiting for Joe. You just missed us, sweetie. I'm so sorry. I was doing readings. I was on my own. Unfortunately, my guest had to cancel. His internet went out. But I'm glad you popped in. So sorry about that. We talked about all kinds of things tonight. Never mind that the Dell decided to disrupt me. So I hope you're well. And I'll be back tomorrow night with Dell on The Delicious Recipe. So we're going to have Varla Ventura. She's amazing. We usually have a show with her four times a year, usually with the season change. I'm just texting Joe to let him know all done in case he's not there. I'll text him. Let's see. Yeah, we're still live. So we'll just wait and see. Joe, we're all done. I'm glad you did too. Yeah, please rewatch. And yeah, we had fun in there. Zach and I did a little bit of a longer reading tonight because he was the only one here tonight. So, well, it's the summertime. It's getting that way. But I know lots of people listen on the replays. So if you're listening on the replays, thank you so, so much. Let's see if Joe shows up here. There he is. He's here. I see him. Night, everybody, or good afternoon, or good evening, good morning, wherever you may be.
Here we are in the writers and illustrators of the Future Lounge at the Author Services Building in Hollywood. It contains a gallery of the writer and illustrator judges, a selection of the awards the contests have received, a library containing novels and art books published by winners and judges, and a selection of photos of some of our beloved keynote speakers and guests. For nearly four decades, L. Ron Hubbard's Writers of the Future contest has discovered and nurtured a steady stream of new authors and artists who have changed the face of science fiction, chosen by an impressive panel of judges drawn from the big. Here we are in the writers and illustrators of.